Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, my friends and foes. Welcome back to another episode of the Jedi Avenger podcast. And I am the Jedi Avenger himself, your host, the artist also known as the Diesel Punk Prophet of Pop Culture, the Bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, John Pica. You can call me Johnny. And on this episode of the podcast, we have got to talk about the new Rise of Skywalker trailer that landed last Thursday. Now, I've been holding this all weekend because I wanted to have some conversations with some friends about it and get their opinions, and I'm ready to share my opinion. We're also going to talk about the brand new Hellboy movie, but before we do that, we've got to acknowledge our sponsors, Magic Subscription Box. You can get a monthly box of magic. It's like a magic shop in your mailbox every month at magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic and take 50% off your first month. It's an amazing value. It's an amazing way to learn magic and to get into magic, especially if you don't have a magic shop near you and you don't have to try your luck with online retailers. You get it delivered right to your mailbox. You can put your hands on it and you can really test it out and learn the best way possible for you, either with printed instructions or the video tutorials. That's magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic to take 50% off. We also want to acknowledge Greg and Crystal Jones. They are our Patreon partners. They contribute to our Patreon campaign every month, and thank you guys so much. Also, Dave Manginelli and Eli Cash. They've been loyal Patreon supporters at patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. Check us out, and if you like the show, drop a tip in the tip jar, $1 or $2 a month. That's all we're asking for, and that helps us produce great content like this one. All right, so let's jump right into it. The brand new trailer for Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. I'm not going to break down the trailer in depth. We see Rey. We see Rey facing off against a TIE fighter. The assumption is that Kylo Ren is in it. We never see who's piloting it. But, you know, she's facing off against a TIE fighter. Her and her lightsaber. Her newly built or rebuilt lightsaber. There were a couple of things about this trailer that I thought were very spoilery. So, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the trailer, don't listen to my thoughts about it. First of all, the title pretty much confirms that Rey is a Skywalker. And regardless of what theory you believe, if you believe that she's a clone of Anakin, if you believe one of my theories that I put forth that she is, you know, a vergence in the Force, or maybe from another line of the Skywalker family, not from Shmi, but from one of the sisters or brothers or aunts and uncles or whatnot, or if you believe the theory still lingering out there that she actually is Luke's daughter and is part of that royal line of Skywalkers. Regardless of what theory you believe, the answer is pretty obvious from the title that Rise of Skywalker is telling us that Rey is indeed a Skywalker. Now, you might say, but Johnny, what about Kylo Ren? Ben Solo is part of that royal line of Skywalker too. Well, yes. But if we were talking about him, I don't think we would be calling it Rise of Skywalker. I think we would be calling it the Redemption of Skywalker. So I think this trailer pretty much tells us what we, the fans, already thought we knew anyway, that Rey is a Skywalker. There was a couple of other great moments in the trailer. Seeing Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee, behind the seat of the Millennium Falcon. And, you know, I saw a great meme over the weekend, you know, from Solo, A Star Wars Story. It had a picture of, Daniel Glover as Lando, and he's like, is it Dan? No, it's not Daniel Glover. Whatever. Glover. Danny Glover's the Lethal Weapon guy. I'm too old for this. Anyway, so Lando from Solo, A Star Wars Story, there's an image of him sitting there saying, I'm going to get my ship back. And Han saying, over my dead body. And then the next frame in the meme was that picture of Lando in the cockpit from episode 9. Ha ha ha! Yeah, Lando, baby. The cape wearing awesome guy is back. The cape wearing badass. That's what we're going to call him. And I can't wait to see Lando in episode 9. It's long overdue. J.J. Abrams, shame on you for waiting until the third film. But hey, we get Lando, so we're going to see a reunion of Lando and Chewie. Now, it's been pretty much established that Han gave the Falcon to Rey. But will Lando claim ownership again? That'll be interesting to see. One of the interesting things I found with the trailer was there's a shot of the quote-unquote heroes, Rey, Finn, and Poe, BB-8, but there's a character missing from that shot. Strangely enough, Rose Tico is not seen in any of the trailer anywhere, and she's not in the group shot of gathered heroes on that snowy ledge. And, you know, it makes me wonder automatically, did JJ feel like she was not a character worthy of inclusion or keeping around? Did he buckle to the calls from the basement-dwelling neckbeards to get rid of her because she is just a social justice warrior and politically correct character? JJ doesn't seem to be the kind of person who would buckle to that kind of political pressure. And I really hope toxic fandom did not sabotage the character of Rose Tico. I actually liked her a lot, and I'm anxious to see what they do with that character. There are characters that I want to see more of. I want to see more of her. I want to see more of Maz Kanata. And hopefully we get that. And I really hope we see in The Rise of Skywalker the return, the film debut of Ahsoka Tano, or at least some mention of her. There are a few other things that I want out of this movie. I want to hear the name Mara Jade. We know that Carrie Russell is playing an unnamed character. We didn't see her in the trailer. I gotta think she is Mara Jade. She fits the physical template. And she's a great actress, would be perfect for Mara Jade. She's the right age. And for Mara Jade to be the mother of Rey, coupled with Luke, and Rey be Luke and Mara's daughter, that would be epic. Epic! We'll have to wait and see. Now, a couple of other things that occurred to me. We see Rey hugging Leia, and we know that Leia is in this movie, even though Carrie Fisher has passed away. They've been working diligently to use footage that was shot during The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and to use reclaimed footage. I suspect there will be some CGI. I suspect there will be some face mapping and, you know, doubles, body doubles, stand-ins to make some of these scenes happen. But in the trailer, we see Rey embracing Leia and tears running down their cheeks. But it's not a sad embrace. It's a happy, joyful tear. And I think this is the moment if it makes it into the film, this is the moment that we realize Rey is a Skywalker. And it's tears of joy and happiness that, you know, Rey has finally come home. I just can't wait to see how that story concludes. Now, the big mystery, the big, oh my God, moment was the very end of the trailer. All we heard was, the Emperor's laugh. Take your weapon and strike me down with all your anger. Ha 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 ha. So, the Emperor returns. Either he's a Force ghost that's been manipulating all of the events. He is the Phantom Menace, right? And he's been around all this time and manipulating all of the events. Or JJ has borrowed from the EU once again and come to the idea that the Emperor kept cloning tubes, and transferred his consciousness into a new clone body. And that theory actually holds up with the timeline, because if you look at the timeline, we're talking about 20 years after Return of the Jedi. Now would be the time that the Emperor would have a fully grown, mature clone body. And even with the dark side energy deteriorating him, he would probably look just like Ian McDiarmid looks. And so that's the big question hanging out there. How are they bringing back the Emperor? Why are they bringing back the Emperor? And what does that mean for the future of franchise? Because we've been told this is the end of the Skywalker saga. It's the final chapter. It can't be the end of the line, but it's the final chapter in this story. And that the Star Wars universe is going to move on past the Skywalkers. I think that's a big mistake, actually. And I think we need to continue stories of the Skywalkers. Maybe not on film, but in TV form, on the Disney Plus streaming service. You know, I've suggested in previous episodes that they do The Further Adventures of Luke Skywalker with Sebastian Stan playing Luke. You know, the Winter Soldier from the Avengers films. You put him side by side with Mark Hamill, and holy cow, it's uncanny. He would be great as Luke Skywalker. I would love to see them do that. And of course, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can be done on TV on the Disney Plus streaming service. And I really hope they do that. Now, I love the trailer. I'm really excited. I can't wait. Unlike a lot of fans, I actually like The Last Jedi. And I am not hoping that J.J. Abrams wipes everything out and ignores it. I really hope he picks up on those concepts and some of the things that were established and moves them forward to a resolution. So I'm looking forward to Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. Let me know what you think. Drop me a note at Big Daddy Cool at BigDaddyCoolShows.com. Let me know what you think, or post a comment on my Facebook page, The Bamboozlist John Pica, or on our brand new Jedi Avenger Facebook page. We've got an official page right now. It's still being built, but you can go there. You can give it a like and post a comment. That would be fantastic. Now, before I get into Hellboy, speaking of Disney Plus streaming, news dropped on Friday that one of the first shows on the Disney Plus streaming app is going to be a Marvel Cinematic Universe show. So it's going to be the What If TV show. And the first story arc is a Peggy Carter, What If? So Peggy Carter returns. Hallie Atwell returns as Peggy Carter. She's going to be in Endgame, and she's going to be in this new series, What If? And I suspect, if I were a betting man, that this will be What If Peggy Carter took on the mantle of Captain America after Steve Rogers died. That's going to be my prediction for Peggy Carter, and I can't wait to see if I'm right. I think I am. I think I'm going to be proven right. I'm usually right about these things. That's why I'm called the prophet of pop culture. But we'll have to wait and see. Lots of cool stuff happening this summer. We got Endgame. Then we got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 in May, immediately after Endgame. That's going to be phenomenal to see the fallout of Endgame after, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We know that there's an evil Coulson. Why? Maybe it's a result of the reversing the snap. We'll see. Marvel has done a really poor job of really coordinating the films and the TV series. The TV series reference the films, but the films kind of ignore television altogether. And it's really a shame because there's so much cross-promotion opportunity there that I wish Feige and Perlmutter could just get along and get their stuff together and give us fans the MCU we deserve. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6, and then in November, the Disney Plus streaming service, and Agent Carter leading the way with What If. All right, I want to leave you with a few final thoughts about the movie Hellboy. Obviously, Hellboy isn't in the Star Wars universe or the MCU, has no connection to Star Wars or Marvel, but I talk about other pop culture stuff and comics, sci-fi movies, etc. And Hellboy was not a movie that, you know, nobody wanted a reboot of the franchise. And had they done a few things different, they could have done a new chapter without erasing any of the previous material. And there was only a few things that were in this movie that negated the previous movies, which was a shame. If they had just had someone other than Professor Broom, the whole movie, if they just called his character something different and, instead of acknowledging him as Hellboy's father figure, the whole movie could have stood alone as Hellboy 3. But no, they had to go and reboot it. Now, David Harbour plays Hellboy, instead of Ron Perlman. And there's an entirely new cast of characters. They've retconned his origin a little bit. Yes, he's still brought to life or brought to Earth by Rasputin and the Nazis. You got Cronin there and all of the other characters. But there at his birth as witnesses is the Osiris Club, which includes Professor Broom and the rest of the Osiris Club members who went there specifically to kill Hellboy when he emerged from the ceremony, from the ritual. Okay. Spoiler alert. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler alert. Hellboy's origin is all tied into the King Arthur legend. And apparently they've retconned it so that Hellboy is actually a direct descendant of King Arthur. Hellboy's mother was married a demon of hell and birthed him in hell, but his mother was a direct descendant of King Arthur, like two generations in. And because of that, Hellboy is able to wield the sword Excalibur to kill the goddess, fairy goddess Nimue. Those of you who are familiar with Arthurian legend and Merlin, you know a couple of those names. You know Morgan Le Fay, you know Nimue, you know Mab. Those were all characters that factored into the Arthurian legend. So Nimue is the big bad from the Arthur tales, and because Hellboy can wield Excalibur, he's the only one who can destroy her and send her back to hell. But it comes with a trade-off. If Hellboy embraces his destiny and embraces Excalibur, it will unleash his full demon potential, and he will bring about the apocalypse. Let me just say this. This movie was completely different from the Guillermo del Toro movies. It had none of the comedy or lightheartedness that Ron Perlman brought to the character. It was very dark. It was very, very, very gory. Way too much gore. I don't need to see people's heads being split open. I don't need to see their entrails pouring out. I don't need to see people ripped in half to get the idea. The other problem I had with this movie is that it's very vulgar. They're dropping F-bombs left and right. And I know that's the trend to appeal to the kids, to be hip and relevant, to be rated R, ultra-gory, ultra-vulgar. But there's no need for that. My 19-year-old son agreed. He was like, I don't need to see and hear all that. And it's not that we're prudes. It's just that it was excessive and unnecessary. I had the exact same criticism of Logan, the Wolverine film. Now, there are a couple of interesting new characters. Alice. Alice is a new character. And she's a psychic medium who all of a sudden develops this power and this fighting ability to punch the souls out of creatures. And I never explained where that came from. Just said, I've been different since the fairies abducted me. Yeah, she was abducted by fairies and rescued by Hellboy. And this movie, it borrows a lot and it touches on a lot of different mythology traditions. The Arthurian legends, the Russian mythology, American, Indian, and Mexican mythology. They're vampires. There's Baba Yaga from Russia, the witch who steals children to eat them. Then there's all this Arthurian mythology in it. And we get some South American mythology with the were-jaguar character. Now, I liked Alice, and I liked the character. And Major, I can't remember the Major's name, but he's the were-jaguar. Cool character. I dug that we had a were character, a were animal, a were-jaguar. And that was cool. And but the movie was all over the place. Locations, plot, timeline. I mean, it just was, to be honest with you guys, it was a little bit incoherent. It was just, they tried to throw everything in there, and it had its high points. It had its good moments. One of the high points for me was the flashback to Hellboy's summoning, his quote-unquote birth, and who shows up? End of World War II, the Lobster. Lobster Johnson shows up and kills the Nazis and protects the Osiris Club, and that scene was worth seeing the movie. For Diesel Punks out there, if you're a Diesel Punk fan, and if you're not reading the Lobster Johnson comic book series, the various series that they've done over the years, you're missing out. Go find them right now. The best one, I think, is the Mechanical Monsters of Midtown. It's fantastic. Go get it, read it, and you'll know who the Lobster is. But he shows up. That scene was phenomenal. I could watch it over and over and over again. And, you know, there are good things about it, but overall, this movie was not very good. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. That was Dune and Deep Star 6. But it wasn't very good either. And the box office returns indicate that the reviews and the word of mouth have been pretty bad. It pulled in last night, as of last night, about $12 million in its opening weekend, which is not good. Not good. And Shazam only pulled in $53 million in its opening weekend, compared to Captain Marvel, which topped $100 million. And Captain Marvel, by the way, has already topped $1 billion in box office grosses. Shazam has done under $100 million. As of this morning, only $89 million. Not good. Guys, it's not looking good for the superhero genre after Endgame. I have a feeling talking to people that I respect, they're done. After Endgame, I have a good friend of mine, Buddy Baker, said, after Endgame, I'm done with the superhero movies. I don't need to see another one ever again. Okay, if that's the way you feel, I mean, a good movie is a good movie. So let's not pigeonhole ourselves and put our fandoms in a box. But I do think that overall, and I've been predicting it for 2 years, that we are past the crest of the superhero genre movie. And the fact that Hellboy and Shazam have performed so poorly at the box office just indicate that to me. You know, we'll have to wait and see. But if you're a Diesel Punk, go see Hellboy just for the Lobster Johnson scene. If you're a Hellboy fan, go see it. Enjoy it for what it is. But it doesn't compare to the Guillermo del Toro, Ron Perlman version of the character. And spoiler alert, at the end, the mission of the BPRD, the Jaguar, Alice, the Soul Puncher, and Hellboy, they discover the tank where Abe Sapien is being held. Sorry. Spoiler. Again, not a great movie. It's not horrible. Maybe wait for it to come out on rental if you don't want to spend money to see it in the theater. You won't be missing out on anything if you wait. I'll just say that. It'll be on DVD and Blu-ray in 2 months, maybe less, maybe 6 weeks. So if you can wait, do that. All right, April 25th, early showing of Endgame here in Nashville, the Supervillain Summit is doing an Endgame viewing party. If you don't have tickets, you aren't going to get tickets. They are sold out, but can't wait to see some of my supervillain friends at the Avengers Endgame viewing. And then April 26th is our monthly Freaks and Geeks Variety Nerdlesque review. And then April 27th, part of the Supervillain Summit team will be at the Clarksville Anime Comic and Toy Show. I'm going to be at WrathaCon in Athens, Ohio. So Clarksville, Tennessee, Athens, Ohio, the teams are splitting up. We're conquering the world two conventions at a time. For more about where you can see me live, visit my Facebook page, or my website is better. JohnPica.com, BigDaddyCoolShows.com, and there is icons for you to click the social media platform of your choosing, and I post all my show dates and all of our live appearances on social media, so you can check that out. All right, guys and gals, that is it for this week's episode of the Jedi Avenger podcast. If any other news breaks this week, I'll jump on, and you can check out some live video on Facebook. We do live videos every Monday night, and we'll go live if anything breaks. But until then, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.